The final panelist, Comrade Omoyele Sowore. Sowore has been one of the most consummate activists from the students' movement of the anti-military dictatorship struggle. He established Sahara Reporters in 2006, trailblazing a radical genre of citizen journalism. Comrade Yele, it's a pleasure to have you speak.
All right.
But does corruption have a class content? Prof, would you want to respond to that question from Tokumbo? There are also a few other questions.
Yes, comrade. You see, actually, there are various versions of that question. I think Mark Famuyi, they also on this raised the question, not only people in power are corrupt. There is also this general question about how students have become bankrupt and all of that. Well, these are observations that are true on the surface. There are countries, at least today, where you don't have robbers. I knew that until the collapse of the Soviet Union, there were no armed robbers. When we were young, there were no lunatics roaming the streets. You don't know where I live. You are hearing me. And various policies of the ruling class, you know. In a society where the ruling class decides to simply sit on everybody and take the resources of society, ordinary people won't just sit around and say, well, it's okay. There will be all kinds of responses. Some people will resist. Some people will become praise singers of the people who are sitting on society. Some people will become their agents. The policemen that brutalize ordinary people, many of them live in slums. Their children are in rags. We need to understand all of this, that what the less powerful people in society do is generally a reflection of the power and repression that the ruling classes impose on society. If you take the student movement didn't just become what it was in the 70s and 80s. There was a direct link between the radical academics in the universities and the labor movement. NANS became part and parcel of the mobilizational processes of NLC. The Nigerian academics became part and parcel. In fact, we joined NLC around 1982 or so. And we were so effective that in 1986, the Babangida people needed to remove us from NLC. So all of these things are, if we don't build capacity in our universities for a different kind of university, we will not be able to return to the point where young people, students played the role that they played in the 80s and 90s. So I think beyond the question of evangelism that Esther raised, knowledge and organization, because as Comrade Obayiwana said, there was organization that was able to look ahead, look back. It is always quite tempting for big.
To a great extent, Dr. Sange Obayiwana hit the nail on the head when he spoke about that. Look, now we have gone beyond, the shift from the military to the civilian itself was a major shift. It was a transition, but it was a transition from one set of oppressors and exploiters to the other. I think nothing demonstrates that as sharply as the fact that the two longest serving heads of state, even under the Republic, are both people that have served as military heads of state, which goes to show that the more things appear to have changed, the more they remain the same in the hands of the same class. And concretely speaking, when we talk of revolution now, it's about the urgency and immediacy of it. In filling the gap, what I want to talk to in that respect has been the argument of that you don't decree revolution into being. Revolution is a long-term thing. There have been some revolutionaries that are like, look, we need a revolution, yes, but it must be a socialist revolution. But the fact of the matter is this. The revolution indeed is a process. Well, social revolution is not a one-off revolution. A social revolution is, it emerges from series of political revolutions. By this, what do we mean? Every revolution entails, contestations, change of power. A social revolution entails the shift of power from one class to another. Now, the working class, the masses, who alone represent the only consistently revolutionary class, we exist within a society that, like every other society, the dominant ideas are the ideas of the dominant classes. You know, even whilst workers will fight for reforms, for improved wages, you know, for better workplace safety and all that, more often than not, we're fighting for reforms because, you know, the society, the capitalist system, which shapes this society, it does not appear as clearly to us all as something that can be overthrown once and for all. And you see it right from cradle to the grave in our schools, through advertisement, through the television and all that. The idea is given, sometimes subtly, sometimes much more explicitly, you know, by ideologues, including traditional intellectuals representing the status quo, that capitalism has always been, is, and will forever be. But that is not true. Capitalism has existed for less than 500 years, and even as matured capitalism for barely 200 years out of tens of thousands of years of human existence. But the fact of the matter, and it is also important in having this in perspective, when we talk of system change in Nigeria, we cannot just talk of system change in Nigeria. Part of what the COVID pandemic has shown is the interconnectedness of the world. And capitalism operates and can operate only as an international system. The working class movement is an international movement, so a social revolution bringing about the total breakage of the chains of exploitation that hold the working masses down would be won as an international socialist revolution, entailing series of, I mean, you had in, and it is not even all political revolutions that will immediately be successful, but we learn even from revolutions that are not successful. Because what revolution does is not just about winning power from the oppressor. It's also that the working masses, those fighting to seize power, we learn from the process of revolution. That is to say, with the ideological blinkers that the bourgeoisie, that the capitalists, that the bosses, that the employers put on our faces under periods of normalcy, we learn to tear them apart, you know, and that is the essence of it. That is part of why even in fighting against how they are handling the pandemic, which shows not just the interconnectedness of the world, but the interconnectedness of health with economy and with the environment. We should be clear, what are the alternatives? Without overthrowing capitalism, in fact, the world itself is in danger of extinction. We have witnessed not just climate change now, but climate and ecological crisis. Climate and ecological crisis in which, as a result of production based on profit and not needs, you know, the world keeps getting nearer and nearer to explosion. The world keeps getting nearer and nearer to the precipice. So we need to change the system. And here in Nigeria, what that means is mobilizing to kick out this, because Nigeria is a wealthy country, but with the largest number of poor people in the world. Why? Because the 1%, the Dangote, what Dangote earns one day is 8,000 times what an average worker earns every year. Not every day. What Dangote earns one day is 8,000 times more than what an average Nigerian worker gets in a whole year, according to Oxfam. Five of the richest persons in Nigeria, all of them billionaires, of course, their wealth is enough to totally eradicate poverty from Nigeria, which has the largest number of poor people in the world. And that's why we're saying this cannot wait. We are saying we ourselves are the ones that can emancipate ourselves, that can liberate ourselves, that can break that chain. And it has to be now. We need justice now. We need emancipation now. We need revolution now. And it is we that can make it, to remake Nigeria, to remake the world. So that is the essence of it in a few words. There have been a number of other we still don't have Shore here. I'm trying to see, Prof, if you're back too, you could still round up on that question. And there's also a question, I think it was from Yekini, that can we consider what is happening in the NDDC as corruption? I think, I mean, without much ado, that can be categorically answered as yes, corruption in high places. We also have, I must acknowledge the solidarity message from Comrade Ramsey of Assis M. Thank you very much. He salutes our call on the 1 year anniversary of the revolution now. You're also very much welcome to make contributions. Then a question from Saeed Husseini, based on Comrade Esther Uzoma's presentation. Comrade Esther, this goes to you. Based on Comrade Esther Uzoma's presentation, are there already examples in Nigeria's present or history of the evangelical approach to knowledge and consciousness raising in the marketplace, which Comrade Esther spoke about? How can we learn from and multiply existing examples? Comrade Esther, are you there, please?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, could you kindly respond to that? Thank you.
Well, the examples of evangelical approach, particularly to knowledge, are very, very few. For instance, what we do, we literally go to gardens on Saturdays and provoke conversation about Nigeria, you know, just with total strangers. You know, in provoking such conversations, we now endeavor, you know, to communicate and impact knowledge. We go to newspaper stands where the artisans gather, you know, the keke, you know, who somehow find time to browse through the daily. We go to newspaper stands. And so I propose that this be multiplied. You know, we are doing it now, you know, in that loki, but it can be multiplied. You know, Nigerians, you know, particularly in Abuja, you see where they gather in clusters. That is a classic example of how to impact knowledge. You know, like I said before, enthusiasm without knowledge cannot work. I am angry, dollar is falling. It can, it will just be that, a vituperations of an angry person. So what next? So that needs to be taught. Then certain persons who have also taken the evangelical approach have paid the price for it. People like Sowore, all right? Sowore, you know, it was on the day of Pentecost that he marched the streets of Abuja, you know, calling on, you know, people who have sympathy for his cause, and look at the price we're paying. But we must, you know, let us replicate this model wherever we are, just replicate it, you know. Then if knowledge is spread, then we can provoke conviction. We can even, there has to be a renaissance of love for Nigeria, love, renaissance, patriotism, faith in Nigeria. Imagine what provokes a politician to steal Nigerians' money and go to Togo to establish a university. I mean, because they don't believe. So this knowledge is, we must again make people believe. And so that through that, you know, we can bring about the change that Nigeria will want. Thank you.
Esther, yes, sorry. Please. Okay, now, first, my apologies. Are you true?
Yes, I'm done.
Prof, you have said a lot about corruption.
I want to add to some of the things that Comrade Esther said. You see, the evangelism thing, well, it's okay. But, you know, a lot of knowledge can also be garnered from concrete struggles of people. And our people in groups are carrying out defense of themselves and organizations in different ways where we are. So the place to really do evangelism is where people are engaged in defending themselves. So if we are creative and we are attentive, teachers are defending themselves, people who are not paid are defending themselves, pensioners are defending themselves, mothers who have children that can't reach hospital are defending themselves in groups. That is the place to go and do our evangelism. Because if we then intervene definitively, make available some of the facility that we have in terms of knowledge, in terms of people we know, they are people that will become part of our evangelical process. So I'm just raising this, that, you know, going to a park is okay, but, you know, a lot of people just forget. It's a debate, and it's like some of these social media debate. People just want to say something and go. So I'm saying that along with, we should ground these things in people's organizations. And if we have organizations like CORE, like ASCAP, and so on, if we are engaged with, say, nurses or pensioners or something, And we meet people who say, look, I want to do something about the situation like you guys are doing. And then you say, okay, we have this organization called COP. Would you like to be part of it? We have this organization called ASCAP. Would you like to be part of it? Or CDHR, do you like to be part of it? That is the way to build, comrade. That's what I want to say.
Comrade Osage, what is to be done? What's in the light of where we are now and fighting for our rights and against repression?
An allegory. The traditional saying in Benin, where I come from, those days, people cook in open space behind the house, and they use stones to wedge the pot. And some crazy goat comes and knocks over the pot of soup that everybody is waiting to have dinner with. The saying, if you permit me, is that "Tako kogbe we no muwa mekwa." The goat that throws away the collective soup is beaten collectively. That's what it means. So what we have in Nigeria is that a collective pot of soup, you know, has been cooked or is being cooked, and a few goats, out of recklessness, are persistently knocking over that pot of soup. So I'm just using this to say that the reprisal that the goats should face should be collective. I salute Prof, our teacher, for the organizational dimension that it brought to the issue of evangelism. I also want to say that as individual comrades, we should internalize the virtues that our call for a system change embodies. We cannot afford to be hypocrites. We cannot say one thing and be doing another. We live within communities. We live with our children and with our spouses. If we are calling for the extension of all-round human rights to all members of the human family, then that charity must begin from ourselves. So we are supposed to live these ideals when we are identifying with the lowliest in our midst. We can't afford show examples that are not in line with that. We appreciate that it's a process, but we can never be tired of playing our role in that process. I still remember the single mother in Ilesha that saw our comrades about a year ago during the revolutionary march. I'm just saying, comrade, that by whatever we do or fail to do, we are sending a message. And so if you are talking about evangelization, consistency is a requirement.
Comrade Esther, you had responded to a specific question from Hussaini, but would you also want to talk on what is to be done concretely on evangelizing, on what CSOs can do? Then after that, I think by then show would have come in. We had the first one. Then I already noted three raised hands for questions. Shola, Lillian, and Kayo, they will come to you. And also Tokumbo.
Yes. You see, I think it's time for women, to take the lead in this new phase, of events. Believe me, I feel very strongly. I recall the, historically, Nigeria, women are a very strong breed. We had a warrior queen, Amina of Zaza, who was conquering territories, and she ran an expansionist agenda. Look at the Aba women riots. Suddenly, our women somehow, we are now occupied with Brazilian hair, Chinese braids. And I think it is time, the new phase of events, the Nigerian woman concretely must take the lead, both in this evangelism, the Pentecostal approach that is knowledge-based and knowledge-driven. We have to, in that concrete terms, therefore, what are we doing now that's, teaching? I emphasize so much on that because I know how much I learned from my teachers. I want to talk about public libraries because we don't have it anymore. And so that's teaching. Yes, that somebody, we must take that lead. There has to be a feminine unifying approach to this idea of, you know, a revolution. We must bring that to fore, you know, so because it's easy to relate with our children, with our sons who want to be heroes, with our husbands, you know, with our brothers, so that it is not all by force. That's all that we can do it better, you know. So for me, you know, that is one of the concrete thing, and that is it's also a new approach that must be brought to bear. My take.
I agree with also the issue of women. Well, I think it will also show, because there are right-wing women, there are also left-wing women, just as with men. I'll give an example. We try to raise our children to also be, even though they have to choose their path, to be feminist amongst other things. So my daughter came home. I was like, look, she's routing for Marine Le Pen because she's a woman. I had to sit her down, the eldest daughter, that look, yes, she's a woman, and we said, what a man can do, a woman can do too, but this woman is a fascist. I mean, he's supporting her, goes against the fundamental perspective on the basis of which a radical feminism rests. So I think we should raise men and women. Like I think it was Langston Hughes that said something about that. I mean, it's easier to raise strong boys than reset broken men. So we should raise from childhood, women and men, girls and boys, you know, on the right, on the left ideas, not the right idea. So I think the angle, the troubleshooting had been done to get back in show that was brought out. But I think on his side now, we're also waiting for him to come. We'll take some of the questions now. And I will start from Lillian Samson, followed by Kayode Olariwaju. Lillian Samson, followed by Kayode Olariwaju. Please, 3 minutes max thereabout for your questions or comments. Lillian, can you unmute yourself and speak, please?
Yes, I'm here. Good afternoon, great minds. My name is Samson Lillian. This is my question. I haven't been able to evangelize and also to educate people about the current situation of Nigeria after exposing them. Then what next can we do actually to be able to bring ourselves out of this current problem we are having, out of the bad leadership and everything? After evangelism, what's next? What could be the next step we can take to come out of the problem we are having? That's my question.
Thank you. We'll take rounds of 3 questions.
All right, thank you. Good afternoon, everybody.
Afternoon.
Thank you. I appreciate this platform so much. Okay, so I'll quickly ask about what Comrade Esther Uzoma talked about. She talked about knowledge, which is very critical. But we must also agree that for us to effect this change, what are the platform of revolution now? We need a lot of young people with the right knowledge. And currently, we still have young people, the largest number of young people with some knowledge which is wrong, all right? That is why they would never join this Revolution Now platform. So, and there's this saying, there's this quote that there's no knowledge that has no power. So their own wrong knowledge also has also empowered them to resist what we are doing. Okay, so my question is, how can we get these people, these other people with the wrong knowledge, how can we quickly get them to see the same vision or to imbibe the same vision which we also all believe in to effect the change we want in this country? So that's my question.
The last question for this round will be Shola Olorunfemi. Could we have Tokunbo Oke?
Right. I just have a comment to make, and I'd like to thank you, Baba Aye, and the other comrades for putting this on. If I could also say that this is simply, it's not a Nigerian problem. You know, this is a global, problem. I've lived in England for 30 years, and the same kind of challenges, that people are facing in Nigeria are the same challenges we are facing here, in terms of unemployment, in terms of the lack of housing, you know, coupled with the fact that, you know, COVID-19 didn't drop from the sky. You know, COVID-19 is a problem of the capitalist system, and its terrible effect, you know, on the environment, where everything is treated as a commodity for sale and a commodity, you know, to be just thrust aside, all in the name, you know, of profit. You know, I'd also like to thank Prof. Oloyede. I haven't seen him for about 30 years, you know, but himself and Comrade Chegun Oshoba, you know, who happened to be my MA supervisor in Ife. I'd like to let them know how much they transformed, you know, my life in terms of getting me to think about the issues critically, you know, and then getting, you know, involved in the processes that we need, you know, to get involved with, you know, to make this world a better place. So I'd like to thank all of you. Thank you very much.
Let's get started. Comrade Esther?
All right. After evangelism, you know, the next thing is that you expect that people will be born again. Hello? And then if they are born again, you drag them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Let them speak in new tongues. That's when they start speaking the gospel of that we are speaking now. But putting it in concrete terms, really, they get involved with the process. They get involved. How do we, for instance, right now, if a Nigerian youth wants to get involved, Sure got about 33,000 votes. Imagine when the teeming population of Nigerian youth actually take the pains, you know, to get a PVC, actually take the pains to stand and vote, actually take the pains to stand and also watch the vote. Overvoting, for instance, occurs because the people who should be watching are not watching. How can we register 10 people in a polling unit and turn out 1,000 votes because people are not watching? And so if the Nigerian votes, after that evangelism, they engage, become engaged and with governance, with the process of governance, starting with politics, can go get a PVC. All right? The season will soon be upon us. What do? Whoever is saying anything, telling you about one prof in his opening salvo, he said that, listen, corruption is also not keeping to political promises. You engage. And then when you participate, that's how you participate. And then you watch the process. Join hands with people like you. What I'm talking about is that you must not be on a platform. Just in that your local area, in that your PU. That is how, otherwise, you know, it will not, we won't bring about a nation that we all want for our children. So I propose that after that, you engage with the process, get involved, get a PVC, and let people from that you know, let comrades emerge as political, you know, as flag bearers, and then let them become, you know, we'll come into offices so that we can expect better. How dare we expect a change when we keep doing the same thing over and over again? You know, so I so submit.
Thank you very much. Thank you.